Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish On Tap, a podcast for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300. And today I'm going to be breaking down this past weekend's USC win. It was a 31-16 win. As the USC head coach will have you know, they did not lose the game. They just ran out of time. And then towards the middle and the end of the episode, we're going to get into this weekend's matchup against North Carolina. My first return to South Bend since the Boston College game 2 years ago. I went back-to-back weeks with the former co-host of this show, Ethan. We went to the Navy game and the Boston College game. And then obviously last year with COVID, not being an actual student at Notre Dame, couldn't go to any games, but I'm back. I'll be back out there this weekend, and I'm excited to see this team play against a high-quality offense, but a middle-of-the-road team in the ACC. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Like I said, this past weekend, Notre Dame comes away with a victory 31-16. It was our game from the jump. It was a little bit of a slow start with a missed field goal, but the offense showed the ability to move the ball all game long. I talked a little bit on the pregame episode about how I wanted to see this offensive line get situated, and I want to see Kyron Williams have a big game. Place a little wager on him. They now have prop bets for college football games. So I was like, I called for it. Why don't I put my money where my mouth is? His rushing total was 75.5 yards, which I thought was criminally low. So I put a little cheese on it, and he ends the day with 25 carries, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns, ran with some real attitude, some real tenacity, and just a real oomph. This is a guy that will play on Sundays when he's done playing here at Notre Dame, and I anticipate him competing for a Doak Walker before he leaves Notre Dame, depending on where our offense is at. But offensively, Jack Cohn, 20 of 28 for 189 yards, was really just a more rushing-based attack, which is what we're used to seeing. But guys like Avery Davis were involved heavily in the passing game. Guys like Lorenzo Styles, we saw plays from Kevin Austin. Michael Meyer made his return with 5 catches for 54 yards and some night. Like, they got him involved early. They got him a nice couple quick catches early and got him involved in that game plan early and got him going. But you were going to expect to see him on a pitch count. You didn't think that he would play, or at least I didn't think that he would play a lot. And 5 catches for 54 in a game that, although it says it was 31-6, we were ahead for the entire game. Took a 17-3 lead into the half with some poor clock management by USC and Keaton Slovis. But defensively, it was an up and down performance. Like, there was some great individual performances. The front seven played phenomenal. Guys like Isaiah Foskey, Myron Tagovailoa-Amosa, friend of the program, Tariq Bracey, got a game ball from Ryan Kelly, and he played absolutely out of his mind. But they did allow Drake London to go for 15 catches for 171 yards, and then they did kind of get run all over with Keontae Ingram. He had 24 carries for 138 yards. Now, I think playing a team like USC with a quarterback like Keaton Slovis, who is a prototypical, like, pro-style quarterback, was a good matchup going into a game against a quarterback like Sam Howell. And, you know, 16 points is a great performance from the defense. I think I'm losing my head a little bit with the yardage and with the way that USC was able to move the ball, because I know that that could be an issue this weekend with Sam Howell. We saw that last year with the North Carolina game as well. But overall, you know, they let Tyler Buckner play a little bit. He got, you know, in. He had two pass attempts for 24 yards. He's a little bit of a change of pace. And then he was able to get a rushing touchdown with 3 carries for 11 yards. And I think, like, there's nothing wrong with running a two-quarterback system. I know you become a little bit more predictable when you bring Buckner in the game, because it's more – run fits and more running plays that you would bring him in for. But I truly think that playing both quarterbacks between Buckner and Cohn, or even if it's Pine, using both of their strengths to make a better offense right now, like, it is the best case scenario. And the way they ran the ball on Saturday, I hope they'd be able to run the ball like that again this Saturday. But as a performance, I'll give it like a B+, maybe an A- as a team. I think that this team has really, bounced back, I guess you would say, or just like reinvented itself since the Cincinnati loss. And I think that obtaining a New Year's Six bowl game is very possible and highly probable. I know that sounds cocky, but the rest of our schedule isn't too hard. Those are all very winnable games that we have for the rest of our schedule. And we're already 6-1 and 13th in the nation, or I believe 12th in the nation. I could be wrong. But this upcoming week, so before we get into this upcoming week, I'll do offensive and then defensive players of the game, and I'm totally off. We are 11th in the nation, which right outside the top 10, top four get in. A lot of the Big Ten is going to take care of itself. I know Penn State and Ohio State play each other this weekend, and I know Penn State is pretty much eliminated already because they played a nine overtime, like 23-20 game or 20-18 game against Illinois, which is just hilarious. And then Ohio State has one loss against Oregon, and if they lose again, curtains for them, and they're ranked ahead of us. So we're all Penn State fans this weekend. Michigan and Michigan State play each other. There's so much left that could happen in the college football season. I really don't think we're a college football playoff team this year, but anything can happen. And let's just continue to try and go 1-0 each week and move up the rankings and hope that we can get the help from other teams losing ahead of us. But offensive player of the game, I think it goes without being said. It's got to be Kyron Williams. Like I said, really just took control of this game early, had 25 carries, so was the bell cow of the offense, more rushing attempts than Jack Cohn had pass completions. Obviously, we had a total of 30 pass attempts with 22 completions, but the running game is really what Notre Dame's all about. And I've talked about it a lot on this podcast. If you're able to get the running game going, especially with all the weapons they have in the receiver room and at tight end, and even in the running back room, then you can get the rest of your offense going. The floor, I guess you would say, like the floor level is let's start running the ball. Once we get the run going, then let's get the play action, and then we could take a shot. And Jack Cohn has been able to take calculated shots throughout the season. He doesn't have the best arm he isn't the most accurate quarterback, but he's been able to connect with guys like Avery Davis, Kevin Austin, Braden Lindsay, all sorts of receivers. So just continue to get better week in and week out. And I think, like, yeah, they covered the spread. Yeah, they were up for a majority of the game. And, yeah, they were able to take pretty much whatever they wanted on USC. It has to be more balanced, I guess you would say. But we'll take, you know, it was 41 rush attempts, 30 pass attempts. So it was like 60-40. That's not too off balance. But the way that we were able to run the ball this week, you want to see them be able to do that week in and week out. And we haven't been able to capitalize off that. It's been a lot more passing and a lot more our quarterbacks under duress because we haven't been able to get the run game off the ground. Let's continue this trend. Let's keep the run game successful. And then let's follow that up with, you know, calculated and a decent amount of passes just to get the ball moved down the field and points on the board. Cause we don't want Jackie Boy out there throwing 40 times a game. That's just not how we're going to win football games. So like I said, offensively, Kyron Williams, 25 carries, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns, straight attitude, just the meanest dude on the field. And his post game interviews are something else. The kid's really special and I can't wait to see him play on Sundays. Defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go, defensive side of the ball is tough. You saw a lot of key contributions, saw a huge game from Bo Bauer, saw a huge game from Tariq Bracey, saw a huge game from, like I said, Isaiah Foskey and Myron Tagovailoa-Amosa. But I think I'm going to give it to Bo Bauer. Bo Bauer gets my player of the game for defense, and he had 7 total tackles, 4 solos, a TFL, and he had an interception with 79-yard return attached to it. So I haven't given one to Bo Bauer yet, but I've talked a lot about Bo Bauer on this podcast, and he's a very important part of that defense. He's like the hype man, but he's also really come into his own as a skilled linebacker. He was more or less just a special teams player prior to this, and now we're seeing him really fit into his shoes in that defense. And with an interception, we saw the wheels with the 79-yard return. And then you obviously with the 7 tackles and 4 four solos with the TFL is a phenomenal game from your middle linebacker. So thank you again for Bo Bauer, just for being Bo. Special teams MVP. I guess we'll give it to Jonathan Dewar this week. It wasn't a very busy week on special teams. We only had one kick return with Lorenzo Styles. Dewar made one of his two kicks and his four extra points. And then Bramblett only had one punt. So we'll give it to Dewar for special teams. But Notre Dame finds a way to get to 6-1. They improve to the number 11th team in the nation in the AP poll. They win 31-16 against USC. And we're on to UNC. That was a tongue twister. So UNC comes into this game 4-3. And last year we went down to UNC and it was a pretty close game throughout. And then we pulled away at the end. I think we were able to win by two touchdowns. But this season so far, you know, Sam Howell was the odds on favorite, or maybe he was second aside from Spencer Rattler to win the Heisman Trophy. That's not going to happen. And North Carolina has really underperformed this year. They are 4-3, and they started the season off with a loss against Virginia Tech on the road, 17-10. They bounced back and beat Georgia State 59-17. They got into a shootout with Virginia, won that game 59-39. They lost to Georgia Tech, who absolutely beat the shit out of them, 45-22. They beat Duke. Duke is terrible at football, 38-7. We don't take too much account into that. They lost to Florida State, and I know we barely beat Florida State, but Florida State lost to Jacksonville State, and they are terrible this year. So take that how you want. They beat Miami 45-42, absolute shootout. And if you get the theme from these games, they don't really play defense. They're always in high-scoring affairs, but they also have an offense that – can really put up points. And like I said, a quarterback in Sam Howell that, despite me kind of trashing there, he may not be a Heisman contender, but he is a very talented quarterback. He can make all the throws. In seven games this season, he has 1,851 total passing yards, but he can be beat. He's thrown six interceptions, so he's almost thrown an interception a game. And he's been sacked 27 times. So that pass rush, again, this weekend is going to have a field day. We get after the quarterback like no other. And it's going to be great to see them make Sam Howell uncomfortable back there. Sam Howell also averages 5.1 yards a carry and has 494 yards on the season on the ground and five touchdowns. So he's accounted for 23 total touchdowns. He has a 62-yard run under his belt. So keep that in mind. You want to keep him in the pocket. You don't want to let him get outside of the pocket and have an opportunity to hurt you with his legs. Their lead back is Ty Chandler, 6'2", 210. 588 yards so far on the season, 5.5 yards a pop, seven touchdowns. Not as tenacious as a runner as Malachi was last week against USC, but still a little bit of a pop. And they run like a spread offense. So there's going to be a lot of RPOs. There's going to be a lot of quick game. They're going to run the no huddle. They're going to try and run 100 plays. And they're going to try and keep our defense on the field. Now, obviously, they can score with quick strikes, but I think the key to this game defensively is going to be the pressure on Sam Howell, but not just any pressure, pressure with four men or pressure with three men, pressure with your original amount of pass rushers, excluding blitz men, because you don't want to leave our secondary in man-to-man coverage against Sam Howell, because Sam Howell will pick you apart. And we've seen that the weakness of this defense is the secondary, and we're not going to have Kyle Hamilton this week. Kyle Hamilton had a phenomenal game last year against North Carolina, and we would really benefit from having him out there to kind of neutralize what Sam Howell can do to you. But he's not going to be in the game this weekend, so they're going to have that next man up mentality, and
it makes the pass rush that much more important, because it really doesn't matter who you have back there at DB. If the pass rush is getting home and making it difficult for Sam Howell, then he's not going to be on target. He's not going to be accurate. He's going to be under duress. He's going to be running for his damn life. So I think, like, of the utmost importance for this game this weekend is to make sure that there is constant pressure on Sam Howell. The secondary will probably have their moments. They will probably get picked apart during certain times of this game, and that's fine. You want to be a bend but don't break defense this week. There will probably be about 21 to 31 points put up on us this week. Could be a shootout. North Carolina is +3.5. I have already wagered a large sum, not a large sum, like $100, but more than I normally bet, I guess you would say, on Notre Dame to cover the -3.5 at home. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll bring the good juju. And I anticipate that this game could probably get up to like a 35-31 game, or like a 38-31 game, or a relatively high-scoring game. But I think also, too, a way to keep Sam Howell at bay and a way to keep this North Carolina offense at bay, run the damn ball. And we haven't even talked about the offense yet, but very leaky defense for North Carolina. As I said, as much as they're going to get theirs, they have to get theirs because their defense is giving up so many points week in and week out. They have a high of given up. They have a high points given up on the season of 45, but they've allowed over 30, but they've allowed over 34 times. And they've only, and they're 2-2 in those games. So they've won two games, they've lost two games in which their opponent has gotten over 30 points. So kind of an anomaly of a team. They're led by Mac Brown, the former Texas head coach. Still going to be a great coached team, just not all the way there. And I think a similar thing, I think a similarity between these two teams is they lost a lot of their productivity to the draft last year. Guys like Michael Carter and De'Ami Brown. They're going to lose Sam Howell this year, and then it's going to be back to the start, and then they'll be back to a basketball school. And they're not even that good at basketball right now either. But this week offensively, as I said, similar game plan to USC. This is a high-powered offense. This is an offense that you don't want on the field. This is an offense that can easily score 30 points anytime they step on the field. So with that being said, long sustained drives are the move for this week. We need to have 6 to 8 minute drives, 5 minute drives, whatever. It can't be three and outs. There can't be, you know, one first down and then punt drives. There needs to be some sort of continuity and just continue to move the sticks, because the longer our offense is on the field, the less of a chance our defense, especially the secondary, has to get victimized by Sam Howell. I think it would be completely simple-minded of me and a total homer statement to say that they're going to absolutely shut down Sam Howell. Like I said, I think he's going to get his. But I think the way to beat him, like I said, is that pass rush, the time of possession battle, a la, you know, long sustained drives and drive continuity, mainly based off the running game. Even if that means bringing in Buckner for RPOs and stuff like that, like, we don't have to throw the ball more than 30 times to win this game. Mark my words. They threw it 30 times or 31 last game, won by 15, should have won by like 21. It's going to be the same story this week. Offensively, my key player, I'm going to say key position group of the week is going to be the offensive line. I think, as we've seen over the course of this season, the offensive line hasn't lived up to the standard that we would want them to play at. Guys like Kane Madden, we've had some injuries with Blake Fisher, but, you know, this is still Notre Dame. This is still O-line U, and we'd like to see another great performance from them this weekend, provide whoever the hell is back there at quarterback some time to throw the football. And then let's see some runs from Logan Diggs and and Chris Tyree and Kyron Williams. And then obviously the receivers and tight ends will make their plays when given the opportunity. On the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go in the secondary. And it's a, like I said, it's a player that got the game ball last weekend, friend of the program, Tariq Bracey, cornerback position. I think, like, as much as I said the pass rush is very important for this weekend, the corners and the safeties are going to have good individual performances. They're going to have to be good in one-on-one situations because as much as I said, like, you know, you can't blitz Sam Howell, they're going to blitz Sam Howell. You still need to blitz during the course of a game. So during those blitz situations, we can allow our defenders to get picked apart in man-to-man coverage. And I really like what I've seen from Tariq over the years with hand fighting and just with being a physical corner. So I'm looking for a big game from Tariq Bracey. I'm going to call for a Tariq Bracey interception because, like I said, Sam Howell can be beat. He does very often have a turnover during the course of a game. And let's make him make tough decisions. Let's make him uncomfortable back there. Special teams, although I don't think it will be a field goal game, like I don't think, like if Dewar misses a kick, it's not going to be the end of the world. After a game where he misses a kick, I want to see Jonathan Dewar have a perfect game. I want to see him make all his field goals and make all his extra points. And it's not asking anything too crazy. We've asked for kick returns and punt returns from the returners, and that's a lot harder than just going out and making your kick. So hopefully you get some good snaps, good holds, goes out there and puts it between the uprights. And for my score prediction, like I said, Notre Dame is -3.5. And I already placed my bet because I won a little extra money early in the week. I was like, you know what, let's go ahead and put this in just in case the line jumps, because last week when we recorded, it was, you know, Notre Dame -4. And then by the time that we got to kickoff, it was Notre Dame -7.5. And that's just a weird number. They did end up covering it, but I don't like that number with the hook. But for the over-under, the total is 62.5. So a lot of points to be scored. I think the over is probably the play. And then Notre Dame -3.5, like I said, I really like that. I think that the prediction – I think my score prediction is going to be 38-31. I think, like – I don't think we're going to blow them out. I don't think that they're a terrible team. Like, I think they have quality players, but I think it will be a case of kind of like USC where it's like we'll be up like 38-24 or 38-21 or some goofy like that. They're chasing 17 and they end up getting 10 points late. So like I said, offensive key players of the game, not going with just one this week, is going to be the offensive line. Defensive key player, Tariq Bracey, expecting an interception from friend of the program, cornerback Tariq Bracey. Special teams MVP or special teams key player of the game, Jonathan Dewar, expecting a perfect 300 like it was a game of bowling. Want to see him make all of his kicks and have a phenomenal day out there in South Bend. And then score prediction, 38-31. Notre Dame covers and the over hits. I would also be interested to see the Notre Dame team total. I haven't seen it yet, but probably be like 35.5 or something like that. So, yeah, 35.5 is probably what it would be. I would potentially hammer that just because North Carolina can't stop anyone. But like I said, it could be a time of possession game plan. It could be a take the air out of the ball game. So that's how I could see the under hitting. But I'm not touching the over-under. I'm just interested in a win by 4 points. And like I said, I'll be out there on Saturday. So if you're a listener, if you're going to be out there, just tweet at us. Send us pictures of the tailgate. We'll try and get together. Like I said last week, I'll be with my mom and we'll be out there a day or two. I think we'll be out there like Friday night and then we're going to stay Saturday night too. So a little mini vacay, mini staycay to South Bend to go see the boys, put it on North Carolina. I'm super excited. First time, like I said, in 2 years. We'll be back with you guys on the other side of the game to break down the North Carolina game, hopefully a win. And then we're going to get you guys ready for the Navy matchup. And that game is going to be November 6th at 2:30, so the following Saturday. And that game's also at home. So I really do appreciate everyone for listening to this episode of Irish On Tap, presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. Stay tuned for future episodes. We'll be back with you next week. Like I said, we appreciate you for listening, and go Irish.